Now for this week's edition of Food Friday, we're going to Cheese Church. Our guest treats cheese like her religion. She's a cheese expert who wants to share her wisdom and love of cheese with the world and maybe convince you that if you don't like blue cheese, it's just because maybe you haven't met the right one yet. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What is your favorite cheese of all time? Any recommendations for Wisconsin cheeses or cheese pairings? What do you want to know about fancy cheese and how to give it a try? And if there's cheese makers out there, love to hear from you about the secrets of cheese making and what drew you into it. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Erica Kubik is a former cheesemonger and the author of Cheese, Sex, Death, a Bible for the Cheese Obsessed. Erica, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me.
How did you get obsessed with cheese, Erica?
I mean, the same way anyone else does. I did it and fell in love. I mean, the real story is for a big part of my adolescence, I was a vegetarian. So I didn't love vegetables at the time. So I was eating a ton of cheese. My big cheese awakening was actually with a Wisconsin cheese, Sarvecchio from Sartori. It's in Plymouth, Wisconsin. My mom ended up I feel like I was 13. She got it at the farmer's market and brought home a 2-pound chunk of it. And I mean, me and my dad destroyed that chunk within probably a week. I mean, if I'm being honest, probably in 2 days. It's still one of my favorite cheeses. I love that it has notes of pineapple in it, but it's really creamy and it just melts in your mouth. It's such a delicious cheese.
Executive producer Dean Knetter, also a former cheesemonger, has that exact make and model in his fridge right now. He lets me know. That's fantastic. Now you approach this with a religious fervor and your book is laid out like a Bible. And I learned you're not the first. Cheese has played a big role in religious traditions going back thousands of years. Can you talk about that a little?
Oh, absolutely. That was one of the most exciting things that I discovered while writing this book. My research really started with this incredible book called Cheese and Culture by Paul Kinstead. He's a Vermonter, but his book is really fabulous. And he writes all about the history of cheese and human civilization. So actually back in ancient Mesopotamia with the ancient Sumer cult, the religion and a lot of their gods, that's one of the beginnings of cheese and religion. So back at the beginning of when they were developing their first writing, one of the ways they did that was by actually taking account of the inventory that was going into their religious temples. So they were giving this cheese as offerings to their gods and writing about the cheeses that were there just to help them keep track. That actually really did help with developing writing skills too. So I think as a cheese writer, I think that's pretty awesome that those all go hand in hand. But the ancient goddess Inanna, which is the goddess of love and sex, she was the precursor to Aphrodite and Venus. She actually demanded offerings of cheese. So I'm a huge fan of her. Love Inanna.
And it shows up in Christian traditions. You write that sometimes the host is replaced bread. No, cheese in. You have quotes from St. Benedict in his setting things up for monastic orders. Totally. With the notes on how to make cheese.
Yeah, there's actually an ancient Christian cult that actually put cheese in the Eucharist instead of bread. The Roman Catholic Church was not a huge fan of that. They ended up you guys can't do it. It's too close to pagans, so we're not allowing it. But it did happen. I just think that's so cool, so fascinating. And I mean, the Greeks they definitely used cheese as a bloodless sacrifice to their gods as well. There's a lot of instances of cheese and religion being together.
Let's get into eating cheese now. As much as I love the history here, there's a lot of kind of cheese out there. There's a lot of great cheddar. You reference Wisconsin cheddar in your book, a lot of variety there. But you talk about some great ways to maybe venture out into those fancier cheeses that we might be intimidated by. How do we start to check those out?
For me, I think the best way to do that is to talk to a cheesemonger. They know so much about the cheeses that they have, but they also know how to guide you. So my biggest recommendation is to basically figure out what your favorite cheese is. What is the one that you always go to, that you always gravitate to? And then ask a cheesemonger, what is something that's similar to this so I can try something new, but I already know that I'm going to like it. And they're so happy to guide you.
We're talking to Erica Kubik on this edition of Food Friday. She loves cheese. She's the author of the book Cheese, Sex, Death, a Bible for the Cheese Obsessed. Got a website of the same name. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a cheese you love to share with the world? A favorite way to find a good cheese, a favorite way to cook with cheese or serve it, maybe on a cheese board. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. By the way, you can also go to WPR.org/Food Friday for a couple of recipes from Erica. And let's check one of those out now, Erica. A garlic honey baked brie. Sounds fantastic. Can you tell us about it?
So good. Yeah, you know, it's very simple. I love baking brie. It's just this really quick way to just get something hot and gooey and so satisfying, so seductive. I like that recipe a lot because I didn't just go the sweet or the savory route. I went with both. So you start out by like mincing garlic and then sticking, like putting like a cross, you basically carve a cross hatch into the cheese and then stuff the little slits with garlic covered in honey. And a little bit of rosemary, and then you just bake it, and it comes out, and you dip some bread into it. It's really quick, so easy. It's really all about getting a good brie, but it's endlessly delicious. I love the combination of rosemary, garlic, and honey.
Sounds fantastic. Check that recipe out at WPR.org/Food Friday. And that reminds me, Erica, talking about the temperature of cheese. You've got a lot of great advice on appreciating cheese, storing, and more. Let's start with temperature. Are all cheeses better at, you know, room temperature or warmer? Or are some fine to yank out of the fridge and start eating like I tend to do?
So the real answer is you always want to serve a cheese at room temperature. Refrigeration dulls the flavor, so you don't get all the complexities. It can also make the texture more brittle. So if you have like an ooey gooey, like perfectly ripened brie style cheese and you eat that right out of the refrigerator, it's going to be very firm, like the texture of cold butter. I mean, it's like butter, right? Like when you go to a restaurant and you have a softened butter and you get to spread that on a piece of bread, like that's so fun. But if it's really firm and you're just kind of dragging it along and like ruin the texture of the bread in the process, it's not as palatable. It's not as enjoyable. It doesn't have like that sensuous texture. However, all of that being said, that is the correct answer. I actually really love to eat blue cheese right out of the fridge. For me, the texture just, it feels like ice cream. It's so good. But you know, blue cheese is also really strong, so dulling the flavor of it isn't as big of a deal. If you aren't looking for like that crazy in your face, like punchy funk. So, I mean, you should definitely temper your cheese, but I'm guilty of that sin as well.
That's cheese in the fridge. Now you talk about something I never even thought about doing, freezing cheese. I guess that's a question you get sometimes. Should we freeze cheese?
No. My opinion is you absolutely should not. Freezing cheese alters the chemistry of the cheese. So the liquid inside of it will crystallize. There's a little bit of separation that happens. There are some exceptions to that rule. In my experience, fresh goat cheese actually freezes really well. I'm sure there's something to do with the science and the chemistry behind it that I don't quite understand. Also, if you're planning to cook with a cheese, so if you have like a grated semi-firm like Colby Jack or something like that, it's probably not as big of a deal if you freeze it. I've done it and it's turned out okay. But if you have a beautiful piece of cheese that you want to put on a cheese plate, do not freeze. You're totally going to change the flavor, the texture. It's really going to hurt the cheese. You just don't want to do it. You want to experience it in its full glory, you know?
And then there's cheese buying logistics. And you have strong feelings about this. If we have a decision between I'm going to stock up on a whole lot of cheese now versus a steady cheese flow, which way do we go?
Steady cheese flow all the way. The thing is, cheese, it's sensitive, right? It needs the right temperature, the right humidity to stay healthy. The best way to make sure the cheese stays healthy is to make sure it stays in the cheese shop until you are ready to eat it, because the cheesemonger is going to take much better care of it. If you buy like a small piece of cheese and you let it sit in your fridge, I mean, I think we're all guilty of doing that sometimes. We just forget that we bought so much cheese and it can dry out. It can lose a lot of its flavor. I mean, cheese starts to go bad as soon as it's cut from the wheel. So it's better to let it get cut from the wheel from a cheesemonger and then eat it as soon as possible and then go back and buy more cheese. I would never tell somebody to buy less cheese. You should buy it less buy it more often in less quantities when you do buy it, you know?
We're talking to Erica Kubik, former cheesemonger, author of the book Cheese, Sex, Death, a Bible for the cheese obsessed. She likes cheese. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you like cheese? Do you love cheese? What are your go-to everyday eaten cheeses? Do you have some for special occasions? Are you afraid of stinky cheese or do you love it? If you love it, how'd you get into it? If you make cheese, love to hear from you if you're not too busy making cheese right now. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. And don't forget, find a couple recipes from Erica at WPR.org/Food Friday. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we're picking up our talk with the cheese preacher, Erica Kubik. Her new book is Cheese, Sex, Death, a Bible for the Cheese Obsessed. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Do you consider yourself obsessed with cheese? What is your favorite kind of cheese to eat? Have you met a cheese you don't like, or do you love them all? Do you have a recipe to share or a question for our guest? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's bring on a caller now. Butch is with us in Broadhead. Butch, hi.
Hello.
What do you want to tell us about?
So I wanted to just share that I love sharp cheddar. Extra sharp is too sharp. Cheddar is too blasé, but I could eat it every day. But I also wanted to share that I was asked at a small bar in Albany if I wanted toast, buttered toast with my Limburger, and I'm here to tell you, it makes the Limburger so much better, and I do not eat onion with my Limburger.
Now, as a kid, I watched the cartoons, and the Limburger and the smell, how strong was the smell, Butch, when you were eating it on the toast at the bar?
It's less strong, but you, like they say at Baumgartner's, you don't eat it with your nose, so if you smell that cheese, you're not going to eat it.
Butch, thanks a lot for the call. Eric, I've been thinking of asking you about Limburger because it gets this bad reputation from the cartoons of my childhood.
Yeah, I actually really love Limburger. It was my grandfather's from Wisconsin. It was his absolutely favorite cheese. I always had to hunt it down and find it for him. It can be kind of tricky to find nowadays. It can range in the amount that it smells, but some of those blocks are borderline offensive. However, I wanted to comment on the butter trick. That's actually one of my favorite tricks for a cheese that's feeling a little bit too intense. If you add a little bit of butter to it, that extra fat helps carry that flavor across your palate. So it's just like a lot less punchy, you know? I love putting butter on Limburger. I love butter with blue cheese. As far as with the Limburger, I do love to eat it with some red onions.
Butch, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Erica, he also mentioned his favorite sharpness level of cheddar. He said he likes sharp, extra sharp is too much, medium, not sharp enough. My kids, good Wisconsin kids, they'd get the oldest cheddar I'd be willing to fork out the money for. Do you have preferred cheddar levels?
Oh yeah, definitely. I like it pretty sharp. I mean, for me, it's really less about sharpness and more about age. I love when it gets a little bit crumbly, gets a little bit of those like crunchy
crystals.
Cheese crystals in it. That, yeah, exactly. That's when it almost like crumbles apart. That's the kind of cheddar I love.
Now you've got another recipe for us. We've got it at WPR.org/Food Friday. Now we love cheese balls here in Wisconsin and everything bagel. Goat cheese ball. How do we make these at home?
Oh, it's so easy. It's so good. So I have, I think there's three cheeses in the cheese ball. It's fresh goat cheese. So delicious. It's also coming into fresh goat cheese season. Mascarpone. You can use cream cheese if you want. I like the like fluffiness of mascarpone though. And then some cheddar, just shred it up in there. You mix it with some chives or some other little fun stuff in there. Then it's so easy. You roll it into a ball, chill it, cover with everything seasoning. I absolutely love an everything bagel with chive cream cheese. So this is, I love this recipe. It's so good. I serve it all the time. I think it's probably my most used recipe among my followers as well.
Find that at WPR.org/Food Friday. It is Food Friday. We're talking to Eric Kubik, author of Cheese, Sex, Death, talking about her great love of cheese. She's sharing it, plus lots of advice. Still time for your call at 800-642-1234 if you have a favorite cheese to share with us. I mean, literally, if you want to bring some in, but you can also just tell us about it. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Erica, I teased something. Better get back to it before we run out of time. Blue cheese, a lot of people might think they don't like it. You say maybe they just haven't met the right one yet. Why is that?
You know, there's just such a range in blue cheese. And I think a lot of times people will, their only experience with it is a, like crumbled on a salad or something like that. Sometimes when you get blue cheese on a salad, it's already pre-crumbled, which means it has to be mixed with something in order to keep it in that texture and preserve it longer. I just think it's such a shame that people will write it off so quickly. So I actually recommend, we talked about, a little bit about this before, adding some butter to it. I just piece of baguette, put some butter on there, put the blue cheese on that. And if you want, you can even add a little bit of honey to help marry all of those flavors together. That extra fat really just goes a long way to kind of minimize the punch of funk in the blue cheese. I also recommend trying different blue cheeses. I really love Buttermilk Blue from Roth in Wisconsin. I think it's got a great tanginess to it. It's also relatively mild. So that's a really good one to start with. Another good trick is to eat it cold from the fridge, because refrigeration does dull the flavor of a cheese. So if you are a little bit afraid of the flavor, then that's actually a good thing if you're trying to acclimate your palate to enjoy blue cheese.
Go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Danny is on the line in Madison. Danny, hi.
Hey, good afternoon.
What did you want to tell us about, Danny?
Well, I wanted to get the author's opinion on, it's not a Wisconsin one. I love Wisconsin cheese, but a real Parmesan, so Parmigiano Reggiano, like the aged one that almost tastes more like a meat than a cheese.
Yeah, Danny, thanks for that. Erica, what do you think?
Parmigiano Reggiano is one of my very favorite cheeses of all time. I think it's absolutely perfect. It's known as the king of cheese, and for a good reason. It's regal. It's so incredibly delicious. It has some of the most intense flavors, and also it's just such a joy to eat texture-wise. I love just like chunking off little crumbles of it. Sometimes I just eat it with olive oil and balsamic. Sometimes I just eat it straight off the block. It's also one of the best cheeses to pair with wine. When I was developing the pairing section of the book, I wanted to figure out like what are all the best go-to wine and cheese pairings. And every single time I would try a wine with Parmigiano, every single thing went. It was crazy. It was white wines, red wines, rosés, orange wines. There was never a wine that didn't love a Parmigiano Reggiano.
Danny, it's a crazy. Thanks a lot for that, Danny. We'll go to Diane now in Darlington. Diane, hi.
Hi. So my father-in-law, he had a really good friend named Johnny Boosman, who was a cheesemaker in Lena, and he made a cheese called Applejack, and he would always bring us a chunk of cheese, and that's my favorite cheese now.
And is that just what it sounds like, Monterey Jack with what, apple flavor, apple chunks? How does that work, Diane? I haven't had this.
I don't know exactly. I do know that when he retired, he sold his recipe, and it's currently made. It's still in Lena. It's wonderful melted, so I like to melt some, saute some zucchini with onion and some butter and throw some Applejack on there. And when it melts, it kind of gets sweet. It's wonderful.
I love it, Diane. Thanks a lot for that. Erica, do you have a favorite melting cheese?
Totally. It's Gruyere. It has to be a young Gruyere. It's, you know, it's the classic. It's one of the oldest cheeses. And it just melts like such a dream. I also love that it has a little bit of like a nutty, slightly meaty flavor to it. It goes really well in so many recipes. I mean, grilled cheese, fondue. I've even put it on pizza before. Yeah, it's got to be Gruyere.
Aha. Okay. We've got Vern's cheese, Applejack cheese, named after the apple River Dairy, where it was created, does not actually contain or taste like apples. Thanks for producers for checking that out for me. Well, Erica, we just have a couple minutes left. What are the frontiers of your cheese research / obsession right now? What are you obsessing on?
Yeah, obsessing with. You know, it changes every day. I would say that because we're going into spring, that is goat cheese season. So I'm definitely cooking with goat cheese right now. I'm eating it just by the tub full. I really can't get enough of it, but spring is the best time for goat cheese because that's kidding season. It's also when the grass starts growing. So basically, once the mama goats give birth to their babies, very soon after that, they start lactating, start giving their milk, which means cheese making starts. Because fresh goat cheese is fresh, it doesn't need to age. That very quickly turns into cheese. But they're also the mama goats are out on pasture now. So they're out eating the fresh first blades of spring, and the way that the flavors of like the first juicy blades of grass in the springtime, like the way that translates into the milk and eventually into the cheese, I mean, ugh, it's just delightful.
Okay, I'm in. What's your favorite way to serve up goat cheese to yourself and others?
You know, that's such an impossible question to answer. There's always so many different types or different ways of serving it. Right now, I love some toasted sourdough with just like a bunch of fresh goat cheese on there. Put it on like when the toast is still warm so that it just spreads and kind of melts into the bread a little bit. And then I love orange marmalade on top. It's just to die for.
Eric, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. Always down to talk cheese.
Erica Kubik is a cheese expert and big fan of cheese. She talked to us about her book. It's called Cheese, Sex, Death, a Bible for the Cheese Obsessed. Find a couple recipes from Erica over at WPR.org/Food Friday. Pretty straightforward ones. Easy to make this weekend if you'd like. And there's still time for you to share your personal cheese obsession or obsessions. You can do that over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let us know your favorite cheese and how you like to eat it. Or you could post on the Ideas Network Facebook page.